And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. It's 4 minutes past nine, Thursday the 20th of July 2023. And you're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 to noon show, and it's busy. We're going to be previewing the big game, kickoff 11 o'clock, Ireland taking on Australia. Dare we dream of a result? Fingers crossed. Oisin will be joining us as well as others to discuss that. By the way, if you're watching the game, a watch party, are you organising anything? Have you done anything interesting to watch the game? Or maybe you're watching it out foreign? We want to know what you're up to. If you're watching the game, let us know. 086 60 25,000. As I say, maybe you're having a watch party. Maybe you're sitting on a beach with your laptop out somewhere. I don't know. But involve us. We want into your life. We want to know the ins and outs of your private life. Not really. But 086 60 25,000. If you're outside the Republic, 00 353 866 25,000. Give us your predictions as well. How do you think the game will go? We want your views on that. Give us a call as well, by the way, to speak to the team, Caroline and Niamh. 07491 25,000. Again, from outside the Republic, 00 353 749 125,000. So if you're maybe you're away from home at the moment, and it's a different time zone or whatever, and you listen or watch the show, let us know what you're doing for the Ireland game. And as I say, we'll talk more about that as the morning wears on. We're going to look, preview also the Merrifund and Low Festival. We'll have two of the organisers in to do that. Are we doing gardening today? No, we are doing gardening. Okay, so we've got gardening polls in, answering your gardening questions. You can get them into us. I've just mentioned the numbers. You know what to do. That and so much more besides. And it's Thursday, which means there's a load of papers. So let's run through to see what's making some of the headlines. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning. As Donegal County Council begins contacting farmers about land acquisition to progress the Bonagie Link Road and the bridge over the Swilly, the start date for the project is optimistically expected to be 2027, another 4 years away. The cost of the project was initially estimated by Leo Varadkar, Minister for the Environment, 9 years ago at $45 million. Given the size of the project, it cannot be funded through a PPP, public-private partnership model, but rather must be funded by direct exchequer funding, said the minister. Known in the Letterkenny Inner Relief Road, or as the Letterkenny Inner Relief Road, with a bridge over the Swilly, the plan has been in the pipeline for a generation or more, and with traffic congestion a feature of driving through Letterkenny, the work cannot come quick enough. Okay, so optimistic start date for that, 2027. It's the most anticipated roads project, I would say, in the county. We've got some that are very highly anticipated. The Donegal News this morning, there is a picture on the front of the Irish team, namely Amber Barrett. Amber Barrett is there, and also Ciara Grant. But the main news story, a major investigation has been launched following the discovery of a number of packages containing suspected cocaine, which was washed up in Fannet and Dunfanaghy. We're going to be talking about this as well. Were you one of those that found it? Had you spotted these packages previously? Are you out looking this morning, helping the Gardaí? 086 60 25,000. Well, the shocking discovery of the first package was made yesterday morning at 8:30 a.m. at Ballyhearnan Beach, Fannet. A far half hour later, Gardaí were alerted by the public to another similar package at Tremore Beach, Dunfanaghy. The large packages, which appear to be wrapped in black plastic, are suspected of containing a substance which is believed to be the controlled drug cocaine. On Garda Síochána recovered both packages, the contents of which are now subject to analysis by Forensic Science Ireland, and the scenes were subject of a technical examination by the Divisional Scenes of Crime Unit. So as I say, maybe it was you that came across those or spotted them and ignored them, thinking there was something else. Let us know, 086 60 25,000. On to the Donegal Democrats and concerns over dubious and unlicensed clothing bags that are appearing, or banks that are appearing in and around public areas within the municipal district, was brought to the attention of officials and councillors of the Donegal Municipal District at its recent July meeting by Councillor Noel Jordan. He told fellow councillors that he had observed a number of these clothing bins in the area. A number have been planted around the place and they appear out of nowhere, and it all sounds suspicious to me, he said. He referred to the fact that one of them, which had been located beside the community centre in Mount Charles, had been moved four times. Councillor Jordan suggested that whoever is providing these unsolicited bins are doing it themselves, and that some of these are really bogus. as there was little to identify where their origins were and who was to be the beneficiary when the clothes were collected. What's going on there? Random clothes bins appearing around South Donegal. The councillor also claimed that locals were getting the blame for discarded articles, which he said was obvious these collectors were just casually tossing aside when they came back to take the contents of these bins. Anyone out there come across them can tell us a little bit more about what is going on there. Maybe you're responsible for them and it's a bit of a misunderstanding. Let us know. 086 60 25,000. The Derry News tells us that August's Ebrington Square events are in doubt as negotiations drag on between the executive office and a third party understood to be the newly opened Ebrington Hotel. Now, of course, they went to press yesterday evening. I believe that there's a more optimistic mood at the moment and that the Ebrington Hotel has said that it's happy enough for them to go ahead. We're going to be chasing the follow-up to that story for you a little later on, but it looks like those four concerts are now going to be going ahead. There was quite a public backlash, it seems, against the hotel. I know there was some level of an organised poor reviews. You know what I mean? Do you know how you can review things? I think there was a bit of poor reviews being put up. And the ratings of the hotel dropped on some of these websites as well. But anyway, I'm not saying that was the motivation, but they seem to have softened their stance in that regard. The Irish Times this morning: Ireland has one of the biggest gaps in home ownership between younger and older people in Western Europe, a new report has found, even as housing here appears to remain relatively affordable overall compared with elsewhere. Close to 80% of people over the age of 40 in Ireland own their home, according to the report published by the Economic and Social Research Institute. Yet barely a third of adults younger than 40 are homeowners. That gap between young and old is the second highest out of 15 European countries, included in the research. Only Greece has a wider divide. So, I mean, like, if you are under 40, is your aspiration to be a homeowner, or are more of you under 40 choosing sort of maybe not to be anchored to a property? Some people feel it's like that, and maybe long-term rental and the more freedom to move is your thing. Like, in other words, is it because you're mad to get a house but you can't? Or maybe there's a change in attitude that home ownership maybe is not seen as quite as important. I'm sure there are surveys out there that would answer that question, but I'm interested in the views of the people of the Northwest, of course. The Irish Independent tells us that cancelled trips, missed appointments and a misspelling of County Laois were among the complaints made to Met Éireann in the first half of the year. One angry viewer said they had seen nothing in the forecast about biblical rain that had fallen across Cork in the spring. Their message said it's still dreadful outside. The forecast was full of snow warnings, but nothing for torrential rain. My important appointment is now lost. I at least would have had a chance to change my appointment had this been forewarned. With your expertise in technology, surely the event was obvious. Another wrote about how they had cancelled a trip because freezing temperatures and snow had been forecast by Met Éireann. Woke up this morning to a beautiful day. Well done, they said. One person complained of how difficult it was to make plans due to a succession of forecasts that had proved incorrect. Yet another inaccurate forecast, an email said. Today was promised to be dry all day in County Dublin on the Met Éireann app. After a sunny morning, there have been thundery downpours since lunchtime, and on it goes. I do wonder, I know they tried their best, but I do have my concerns at times that, like, there's been a number of days over the last few days, and I did mention it prior to the release of those correspondence to Met Éireann, whereby we were told of terrible weather, and the weather wasn't actually really that bad at all. The Irish Daily Mail this morning: the HSE referred a further 21 cases of suspected nursing home sex attacks to Gardaí after a resident was raped by a care worker and cannot rule out more cases emerging. In a statement, the health service said that the additional 21 cases reached the threshold for referral to the Gardaí. HSE CEO Bernard Gloucester said the initial victim, who was given the pseudonym Emily, had suffered a dreadful and heinous attack, and he apologised again to her family. Now, we don't know where this happened as such. It's very worrying. I just think the messaging of that could be dealt a little bit better. The World Cup's underway, by the way. I know it's easy to think that perhaps Australia versus Ireland is the first game, but it's co-host between New Zealand and Norway. New Zealand v Norway already underway. 54 minutes gone. And it is the co-hosts New Zealand that need lead Norway by a goal to nil. The Irish Farmers Journal, key farm succession and land transition or transfer tax release are under the spotlight by the government ahead of the autumn budget. Its tax strategy group has modelled potential changes to agricultural reliefs from capital acquisition tax. The relief currently reduces the market value of agricultural property by 90% for cap purposes, saving farmers $206 million in tax last year. Reducing the relief to between 80% and 50% of a farm's value would cost farmers between $9 million and $64 million. Key tax reliefs for young, trained farmers, farm consolidation, stock relief, farm partnership and accelerated capital allowance are safe until 2024 or 2025. Now on to the Irish Daily Star this morning, and this is a follow-up to that story yesterday. It was that peculiar story of the two people who, I'll read on and it'll make sense, but they've pleaded guilty now. A nephew has pleaded guilty to attempting to deceive after trying to collect his dead uncle's pension at a post office. Declan Hockney and John Sweeney both pleaded guilty on Wednesday to attempted deception in relation to a 246-year-old pension belonging to Padder Doyle, who was subsequently discovered to be dead inside the post office. So now you remember the story. The incident occurred at Hosey's post office on the Staplestown Road in Carlow, January 21st. The trial was to start yesterday, but both men have now pleaded guilty and will be sentenced tomorrow, with the pair facing up to 5 years in prison. Mr. Doyle was discovered dead inside the post office, and Mr. Hockney and Mr. Coakley were subsequently accused of attempting to collect his weekly pension with his body present. I mean, it was a remarkable story at the time that they claimed they didn't know he was deceased, but they took him down and him deceased with a view to collecting his pension. Horrific. But they've pled guilty. The Justice Minister condemned scenes that saw a building vandalised and roads closed off during anti-immigration protests. This is the Irish Daily Mirror. I understand people are concerned. It's just to witness it too. It doesn't feel like us, but anyway. Helen McEntee insisted that Gardaí are on top of what is happening, but that it's very difficult to predict where they may take place. Protesters gathered outside Ridge House in Ballybrack, South Dublin on Tuesday following suggestions that male international protection seekers were to be moved into the building. The Irish Mirror understands that asylum seekers will not be moved into the building, and it's being refurbished by Dunlera Rathdown County Council to house Ukrainian refugees. Several windows to the building were broken. Gardaí closed off roads in the village on Tuesday evening, with locals told to take diversions to get home. As I say, I mean, people are concerned, of course, but unsettling scenes. All right. Some might say it's stout of order. We're an hour and, 40 minutes away from the historic occasion of Ireland lining out for a World Cup match against the co-hosts Australia. We have in studio with us our head of sport, Oisín Kelly. Hi, Oisín.
Good morning, Greg.
Exciting times, isn't it?
It's very exciting, Greg. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Lee Gooch was playing the Ireland songs this morning, and nice World Cup feel.
Yeah,
but it's great for women's football. This is huge. Like this is the pinnacle of the game now. If you're into ladies soccer.
And it's on the up, isn't it? It has been on an upward trajectory, and I think particularly after the European Championships in England, it really catapulted it to.
It did, and the way the club football in England's gone as well. Yeah. There's a lot more coverage of it. But from an Irish point of view, what Amber Barrett did last year in that playoff against Scotland was more important for football in this country than anything of watching the Euros on TV or what they're doing with this Women's Premier League, or because. That start, there was a knock-on effect for that Ireland are going to a World Cup, and it's given a huge injection to the women's sport.
Yeah, and it was the manner in which they qualified. I mean, obviously Amber scored a fantastic goal, but there was a great save in that game.
Yeah,
as well.
You need the theatrics with it too. Like, it has to be part of it.
It's never going to be easy, is it?
It's never going to be easy. And let's be honest about it. This World Cup's not going to be easy either for Ireland, but. That's a fantastic occasion for them to be involved.
Right, so Australia are one of the best teams in the world. They've got superstars in their ranks. Realistically, where are we then compared to Australia? I mean, we're underdogs going into the game.
Where certainly underdogs can enter the game. Like I'm just looking here, Australia would be seen as fifth favourites for the competition. While Ireland, they're not too far down on the actual odds for it, if you want to look at it that way and how it's seen. But Ireland will be underdogs in this game, there's no doubt. But there's a lot of pressure on the host, Greg. Mm. Like they're the host team, they have to perform. Ireland are going into this game with nothing to lose.
What worries me slightly, though, is that we're going in, and maybe we'll spring a surprise, going in with a view to frustrating the opposition and, you know, scoring on the break. Which, you know,
nothing wrong with frustrating an opposition.
I find that if you go one or two down early on, do you have a plan B? But we shall see. I'm optimistic here.
Yeah, we're trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
And we've seen it in previous World Cups with the men. Look what the Ireland men did when they went to a competition, a big competition for the very first time. My only concern would be, and we heard Amber on this morning, about the occasion and how special it's going to be for the group of girls here in Iran, the vein for a very first time at a World Cup. Something like that can go very quickly the opposite to getting you fired up for a match, Greg, and that would probably be the only concern I would have.
Yep.
Other than that, they're very, very relaxed. We've seen it in the interviews with the manager, with the likes of Katie McCabe, the captain, and in fact with Amber as well, who spoke to the press. They're a very relaxed group, so it is, and they're giving off all the right signals as they're sort of going into this game. Mm.
So, from a Donegal perspective, we have Amber Barrett and Kira Grant. The team hasn't been announced yet. What are our expectations?
Amber more than likely will be one of the substitutes for Ireland. I'm just checking to see if they've named the team. They hadn't, when I checked it last, Greg, but the starting 11. More than likely, Amber will be amongst the substitutes. Kira may not feature, which is unfortunate, but she brings a whole lot of value to that group because she's one of the longer members there.
Experienced members
there. It's been part of the Republic of Ireland setups. Even when the Republic of Ireland were struggling, she's been there a long time. And you never know, maybe further online down the competition, depending on how it's going, that some of the girls that are involved in the squad that aren't in that match day may get a run out. But so it'll be great to see the two of them get a run out at some stage.
For sure. Ireland took on Australia in September 2021, 1-3-2. Now, it was not a competitive game, but a win's a win.
Win's a win. That's going to mean absolutely nothing today.
Okay.
Let's be honest about it, Greg. It was a different situation. It was a friendly fixture. There was nothing to it. There was... Like at the end of the day, Australia again are the hosts in this, and there's so much pressure on them. They will be looking to perform on their home stage. There's almost 80,000. There's talk of being 82. There's other reports saying it's going to be 75. We'll go in the middle, say 79, 80,000 are going to be at this game, Greg. For women's football, that is huge.
Yep.
Like you think of Ireland games. Like they're playing in Dublin, they're playing in the Tallaght Stadium. That capacity is nowhere near it.
Right, stay where you are, because Luke Barrett is Amber Barrett's brother. Luke, how are you getting on?
Not too bad, Greg.
You must be incredibly proud, you and the whole family, Luke, of Amber and what she's achieved in getting Ireland to these finals, but also, you know, making history and being such a positive face of the Ireland team in the build-up too.
Yeah, look, obviously we're unbelievably proud of her from, I suppose, the moment that the goal went in, and then the way she carried herself afterwards, but also as you said in the build-up as well, she's been, you know, she's a very intelligent girl as well, and I think sometimes that can get lost as well. But she's been brilliant. She's carried herself unbelievably well, and what I like about her as well, she speaks honestly and truthfully in all those interviews. Mm. And there's never any airs or graces. She just kind of calls it as she sees it. But look, it's been a roller coaster for her, and obviously for everybody involved in the team. And we're just very proud for her to be part of it.
And I think we're all very proud. And I think what we shouldn't forget either is that whole excitement of that goal against Scotland and their celebration and afterwards was all in the context of, and it came across very well in a recent interview she did for a documentary, like she had to handle that perfectly, and she did. She just struck the perfect tone of what it all meant in the wider context, but the positives that it could bring as well. I just thought she was astonishing in that. I mean, a diplomat wouldn't have been able to strike the perfect balance, I believe, that she did, Luke.
Yeah, look, I suppose at the time, obviously, there was a lot of devastation around Donegal, and I suppose we're, you know, we have proud roots in Chrislow with our grandparents there, and I suppose a particular mum would be, you know, she'd be quite a humble person as well, and, you know, it doesn't shock me the way she conducted herself, because we would have spent a lot of time there, and, you know, our grandparents would have had a huge impact on us growing up, so... It didn't shock me in any way the way she conducted herself, and I know that probably they were looking down her that night as well, and it was an amazing experience, because we were watching the game, and I remember just, you know, saying to my partner at the time, you know, if she comes on, she's going to score, and it was nearly written on the stars that mm-hmm. night. And then obviously the way she conducted herself afterwards was just, but...
Yeah, you were saying that watching that, and she whispered that in the manager's ear as well, put me on and I'll get it done.
Yeah, that's the kind of, I suppose, the competitive nature in her as well, so it is. But yeah, it was a surreal experience for that couple of days as well, because it was, you know, the amount of goodwill that people were contacting, you know, me, that, and obviously she was in Scotland and then straight back to Germany where she plays professionally. So she's like, there was no way I was going to have to pass on all the messages that were coming through, even to me. Like, so it was a surreal experience. And then she was obviously then straight away, her focus turned very quickly though to making sure that she wasn't just going to be the person to get them there. She wanted to make sure she was going as well. And she was very focused on that from November on. Her full focus was trying to get on the plane to the World Cup.
Yep. Now, not only her on the plane, but also your dad and brother in Australia. Any updates from them this morning? Any sense of the atmosphere over there at the Opta Hydro? What's going on?
Yeah, look, it looks amazing. It looks like a lot of Irish people have come out and supporting the team as well, and they're just sending pictures into the family WhatsApp.
Go on, add me. Luke. I'll give you my num.
it looks like something you'd see on Jones's Road on a big football game, you know.
All right, and where are you going to watch the game?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it up with Mum. Right. Obviously, Mum didn't travel either, so but I think it's obviously there's a lot of people would talk about our father and obviously sporting background that we have, but you know, particularly Mum had a huge impact on us, but particularly Amber, like. When Amber was growing up, she would have spent a lot of time taking her to athletics and to football and stuff like that there. So it'll be a proud moment for her as well. So we're looking forward to watching with her.
Okay, well, I'll let you get back to it. Listen, Luke, you're proud. We're all proud. It's remarkable the role she has played in getting Ireland there. But the grace in which she had to handle all of that, as I mentioned before, it's something I'll never forget. Luke, thanks very much for your time. Luke Barrett. There and also too, I think it's very important, Oisin, isn't it, Amber's relationship with the manager, because, you know, Amber was being played a little bit out of position for her German club, hadn't scored and all that kind of stuff, but obviously the you know, her international, how she's dealt with internationals differently, and is different.
She fully trusts her player as the manager,
yeah,
and she fully trusts Amber and what she can do, and I'm sure that Vera Powell will have full confidence in Amber and trust that if she needs her, she'll be able to spring her off the bench and try and replicate what she done against Scotland, Greg. So, but as Luke said, it's a very, very proud moment for them. So it is. And for Donegal people who will be watching this morning, Greg, I keep thinking back this morning when we were talking about it, remembering when Paddy Bonner was involved in the World Cup and the European Championships, and remembering when Shea Given was going for a first time. They're sort of memories that I had when I was a bit younger.
Yes.
And yep. And now this is going to create memories for particularly young aspiring girls who want to become a superstar.
Mm. I think the Foyle Cup's football. On at the moment too. So,
the Foyle Cup's on at the minute as well, yeah, which is, Greg, if you can comprehend this, 588 teams,
yeah,
from under 8 the whole way up to under 19 are playing football this week in the Northwest. It's a fantastic competition. So it is. It's hosted in Derry, but Donegal and Tyrone are also incorporated because they need the other facilities and the grounds to hold all this. And we'll be speaking to Philip Devlin, who's the secretary, later on in the score programme tonight as well about it. But like, that's a fantastic competition. And along the way, some young players who end up in the professional game probably have played in the Foyle Cup somewhere.
Yeah,
you're going to have somebody at 9 years of age today, probably 10 years of age. Yeah.
But it's a lot of those young girls and boys, but particularly girls, I think, that will have met Amber Barrett at some point or Ciara Grant, because they're accessible and they understand that they are real role models and have a direct influence on
And they've played football locally. They've played. Ciara played with Ballyrain, if I'm right in saying. And obviously Amber played with Milford United.
Right, so it's a tough ask today, but listen, you know, shocks happen.
Run off and out, it's football, Greg, it's the big stage.
For people who don't know, it's a group setup, so maybe a goal, a win and a draw could be enough to get our...
Draw would be a good enough start.
Yep, so...
Because you're playing one of the teams that would be seen as the top six. Yep. The Olympic champions Canada are in that group as well, that's next.
Problem, Nigeria.
And then Nigeria then is the other team. But if you can start with the draw, listen, Greg, if you don't lose a match and you get three draws... You find yourself in the next stage of the con. Even if you do lose one game and you manage to pick up a couple of points along the way, you probably, if you are going to progress, you probably will need a one in some of the games. But it's great.
Right, so one game ongoing, Oshie. What's the latest?
New Zealand. I turned the TV on for you, Greg.
I was kind of trying to make out you were going to do this all off the top of your head.
New Zealand leading Norway by a goal to nil. New Zealand are the co-hosts, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're again to look at the odds, New Zealand would be a bit further on down the pecking order to Norway. Norway would be higher up the rankings, but New Zealand are off to a good start there. We're hoping Australia's not going to get off to that start at,
for sure.
Come 11 o'clock.
We are going to be going to Breed McGinty in Australia. Do you want to hang around for that? We'll take a quick break.
Go ahead.
You might as well stay there where you are. Okay, we are waiting to see, really, I suppose, how the Australian mobile phone network holds up with 80-odd thousand people in and around the one space. Breed McGinty, hopefully, going to be joining us very shortly. She and a group of friends from Donegal out in Australia for 5 weeks of the games. I wonder what's going through their heads, Oshie, now, sort of with just, you know, over an hour. They'll be coming out into the pitch probably in about an hour for the warm-ups, if not beforehand.
Well, Greg, there's going to be mixed emotions for them, because they're going to see their family and their friends in the crowd, and they're going to be doing their warm up, and they're going to be trying to focus on the task at hand. And it's all about how you handle the occasion, because this occasion is going to be bigger than the next two games, Greg, because this is the first one. So it is. This is the history maker. This is the first game. So it's how they manage that situation. And listen, these are professional sports people, so they are the professional sports women. A number of the girls play their soccer cross channel, play for bigger clubs. They'll have an influence on the other players. They'll be leaders within the group. Obviously, you're going to have the likes of Katie McCabe as the captain. I would call Amber probably a leader in the group, because we've seen her do the media pieces. She talks very honestly. So there's a competitive nature to her. There's a professional nature to her as well. So I would see her as being one of the leaders in the group, for sure.
I was chatting to when last time we were Amber was on the show, sort of asking her, how do you strike the balance between enjoying the experience and taking it all in, but not being overawed, I felt silly for asking the question, because the answer was effectively, well, that's what we do. We're professionals, of course.
That's what she does,
thing. Of course, we'll want to sort of get a sense of what's going on. We're there to play football. We're professionals.
Yeah, that's what they are there to do. And it's all about focusing and getting the mindset right for it, Greg. So you get your flag up eventually.
I got the flag up. I'm not sure how it looks, though.
I don't know how long it took you and Kevin Fury to do that. But
I had no hand to act upon.
I'm on the other side of the desk. I can't see. See how it looks on the screen. You think you would iron it, for starters?
I know. But you know what would happen if I tried to iron that? We're going to bring Breed McGinty in here now. We'll see what kind of reception we can get. I've got to say, it's going to be really noisy there. So let's see if, Breed's connected. Oh my God, she looks great. Hello, Breed. It's Greg here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Greg, I can hear you.
All right, okay.
Just
so
barely,
where?
But I can hear you.
No problem. So where are you, Breed?
Sorry?
Where are you, Breed? So describe, you're outside the ground. Are you making your way to the match?
No, I'm still outside. We're not in the stadium yet. It'll probably be another 10-15 minutes. they're taking them in stages. So we, our section hasn't been called into the stadium yet.
What's the excitement like?
Oh, there's massive crowd. Everybody has big expectations. Australia's on the train out and everything. The buzz about the place is brilliant. Like.
And who all you are you with, and why did you decide to go over, Breed?
Sorry, say that again.
Who are you travelling with, and why did you decide to go over, make the effort to go over?
I'm travelling along with Aaron Doherty and Benny Doherty. And the reason why we came over was because it's the first time we qualified. And also, you don't know what when they would qualify again or what health-wise everybody would be in. So we just thought we'd take the opportunity when it grows.
And Breed, looking around, plenty of Irish support there, is there?
There's a lot of support. I thought initially, like from being in the city in the last couple of days, that the Irish supporters would outweigh the Australians. But when you're in here, there's more Australian yellow jerseys than there is Irish jerseys. So I would say there's a lot. And then there's a lot of Australians, Dutch, sure, who they're supporting. They're half and half jerseys here as well.
All right, those are the ones that are over there working and don't want to upset the friends, maybe. Yeah. Can you give us a look around there of what's going on, what you're seeing,
yeah,
Bree?
Yeah, just 2 seconds.
Oh, got Lord live camera wait woman.
A
no
see
problem.
If I can. I
don't know. The flash is on. Everything's happening. Oh, there we go. Oh, wow. Okay, what a buzz. Yeah, that looks packed. Plenty of Irish there. Great atmosphere by the looks of things. And the stadium is looking brilliant, Breed.
Sorry, say that again?
I was saying there looks like to be a great atmosphere there. Plenty of Irish. And the stadium looks brilliant.
Yeah, no, the FIFA have done a marvellous job on the setup. Like, it's really, really exciting outside. Now, I just can't wait to get inside to see what the setup is in there. But the security and everything... It's just making sure all bags have been checked. If they were checked coming off the trains, and now they're going to be checked again as you go on. So that's why they're taking us in stages.
And Breed, what's your prediction?
My prediction? Hoping for a draw. What that score will be, hopefully, like, I know Ireland will be defensive, and then hopefully hitting them in the break. So you just don't know your luck, and hopefully that we do get a bit of luck and get a result, but I'm hoping at least to draw in this game so that the next game going into Canada, I think the Canadian game will be tougher and then it'll go down to either points or goal difference against Nigeria. So that's my expectation for the World Cup.
Lovely. And we don't know the team yet. We're waiting here for the team. Do you think you'll see Donegal represented on the pitch at some point, at least during the match this evening?
Sorry.
Do you
the
think?
Noise is just...
Yeah, are you expecting to see Amber or particularly Amber? We might not see Kira, but do you think Amber will feature this evening?
Well, I'm hoping Amber gets definitely a good run out. Like, I think she deserves it after, like, she scored a couple of goals throughout the campaign. She's been really, really patient. I think she's an absolutely marvellous impact sub. But I'm hoping that she gets an opportunity to play more than just coming on it as a sub player. But you just don't know. Amber's so committed and dedicated that I think she deserves. And what she's done for the Irish team in the last couple of months has been marvellous. Like, if you look, there's the ambassador for women's football. Amber's at the forefront of it at the minute. She's getting all the interviews. She's in the TV programme. She's promoting it as much as she can. So I think that she needs to be given a chance now on the pitch as well.
All right, Breed, one last wee scan. Show us again just what you're looking at before we say goodbye to you, Breed.
Sorry, say that again.
Give us another wee look around what's happening before we say goodbye
no bother.
To you. Our own camera woman. Look at that. Wow, what a buzz. Breed, be safe. We'll chat to you soon. Okay, thank you very much indeed, Breed McGinty there. You really get a sense of the excitement. It looks fantastic. You know that when you're standing outside the stadium, Osh, you can see it for those of
so
for those
jealous,
people
Craig.
Watching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi to my daughter living in Sydney. That's Bernie Craig. Thanks, Bernie, for watching. And if any of you are out abroad, you're watching the game, let us know where you are and what's going on. Go ahead, Osh.
Greg, just a reminder, listeners, it's not two Donegal ladies that are out. There's actually four.
Involved in the whole setup.
Denise McIlhenny from Letterkenny here. She's the operations manager with the FAA. And Niamh McDade, who's from Inishowen, is the stats analyst as well. So Donegal have four representatives at the World Cup under the Ireland banner.
Right, okay. You might rejoin us when we get the team, Osh. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much indeed. Thanks to Breed too, who's out in Sydney just waiting to get into the stadium. I think whatever hope we had of hearing her outside, it, there'd have been no hope inside. But you know, we you never know. All right, Osh and Kelly will be back with the team as soon as it's announced. Right, Tongata Shea Connor investigating all the circumstances of the discovery of a number of packages along the North Donegal coast. The packages are suspected of containing a substance which is believed to be cocaine, subject to analysis. Around 8:30 a.m. yesterday morning, Milford Gardaí were alerted to the discovery of a package at Ballyhirnin Beach, Fannet. Half hour later, Gardaí were alerted by the public to another similar package at Tremor Beach in Dunfanaghy. Gardaí recovered both packages, the contents of which are now subject to analysis and the scene obviously technically examined. Okay, former Garda Sergeant who worked with the drugs squad, Christy Galligan, joins us. Christy, thanks for taking the call this morning.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Right, this is a really unusual occurrence in this part of the world, isn't it?
Well, it is quite unusual. We don't have it, but it's not unusual to see large amounts of drugs coming in on our coastline, especially we were more in 2007 when there was 440 million seized off Mizenhead, where a boat had kind of lost its anchorage and a number of people were arrested and charged and imprisoned over that. That was one of the biggest seizures ever. And that drugs came in from places like Colombia or Bolivia. It originated from South America and was being transported, we believe, into the British Isles, but it got into difficulty off Mizenhead. So it's not unusual. And we have a huge coastline, even here in Donegal. You know, you have 1,100 kilometres of a coastline here in Donegal, so we're wide open to that form of... But we don't know where those drugs came from, whether they drifted, maybe drugs that were dropped off at a certain vantage point or location, and then drifted or broke up, the bales broke up and drifted off over the sea and just happened to wash into Donegal. But it's something we have to be very concerned about and alerted.
Like, we've nothing really at this point to indicate that these were drugs destined for the Irish market. I mean, they may well be, but also they may well not be.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know from Operation Lionfish, which was coordinated through Interpol last year, there was 1,300 arrests and a large number of seizures between drugs that came in from areas like Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, through Afghanistan, through the Balkan routes and the northern routes. So there has been we would see more of that route, drugs coming in through those routes than through the sea routes that we have had. Now, we've had the recent seizures there in Rosslare, where over 11 million euros worth of cocaine was seized by customs, and two people were arrested, came in a horse box. So there is an ongoing issue with relation to ferries and people transporting through ferries and containers coming into the country anyway, Greg.
It's going to be a difficult one to investigate as well, because presumably, you know, these would be packed in a sterile environment, gloves used, they wouldn't use any bags or wrapping that would be easily identifiable. It would all be identifiable. It would all be generic stuff. It'd be very difficult to expect the Gardaí, I'd imagine, to find out any further information on this.
There are very little, as I say, trace evidence for the Gardaí to follow up. But the Interpol themselves have this analytical data where they can follow certain types of drugs that are stamped. Most drugs now, like the MDMA and amphetamines, are stamped with certain logos. So they have intelligence to suggest where those drugs come from. It's the same with a lot of the cocaine. There are some of those that are wrapped, and they're fairly well wrapped as well, come in containers, have stamps or logos on them, and they're able to trace it back to the routes that have taken, that these drugs have taken through international and transatlantic shipments worldwide.
Right. So, I mean, this talks to the wider problem too. Every week, there's more statistics coming out talking about how we have extremely high cocaine usage levels. We covered it extensively here in Donegal. Spoken to people who work in the area of counselling and addiction support. Quotes like, you know, it's as easy to get cocaine in Donegal as it is a pizza. It's not an urban problem anymore. Yeah. It's all over the place. And this just highlights how much of it's readily available.
Yeah, and we have a national drug strategy, but I don't know whether it's working or not. I know the preventative measures that are in place. We have also, you know, where we try to talk to, where I'm sure that a lot of counsellors would talk to parents and try to give them information as to, you know, how to talk to their children who are involved in it as well. Because one of the biggest problems, and I'm here in Dublin at the present moment, and I hear from a lot of people that their parents have children now are involved as young as 12 and 13, even younger again, in the supply and the sale of drugs like heroin and cocaine here in the city. And it's a major, major problem. And kids get involved in this at a very early stage. So when your kid comes home with a €200 pair of Nike shoes or a large puff jacket worth €1,000, you have to ask the questions, where did they get them? And it's, you know, we really have to sit down and be more informative with children in relation to the dangers inherent in being involved in drugs and drug trafficking.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably the distribution and the dealing level. But I mean, in terms of the consumption level, things have changed drastically, I would imagine, since when you were in The Guardian involved in the drug squad. As I say, this drug is available everywhere now and others. Do you think is happening? Why are we seeing cocaine now in every corner of every town and village in the county and country?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it has weaned its way in through all facets of society, even in public service. And we know from even within the Garda Síochána itself, sadly, that there are a number of cases that were before the courts from people who were involved in the sale and supply or involved in drugs as well. And it's gone into every facet of public and private service. The real problem is it's the gateway drug. It seems to be easily obtained. It gives you that quick fix, you know, apart from drinking a few pints, maybe at the weekend, where most people will enjoy. People want to have cocaine in their pockets or wherever they're going to get it. And this quick fix keeps them going through a night. But the problem with that is that fixation becomes an addiction, and that addiction causes major problems down the road for you.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. I do appreciate it. That is Christy Galligan there, former Garda Sergeant who worked with the drug squads as well. He concludes that there's nothing to suggest at this point, and it'll be hard to prove one way or other, that these drugs were destined for the Irish market or to be landed in Ireland, possibly dumped from one big boat to be picked up by a smaller one. They could have been drifting for a great deal of time. Could be from South America. You don't know. The sea can cause these packages to travel great distances. Again, if you have any insight, maybe you were one of the persons that spotted these or saw them previously but didn't pay much heed to it, let us know. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. They're into injury time now, halfway through 9 minutes of injury time in the opening game of the Women's World Cup. New Zealand lead Norway by 1-0. New Zealand had a penalty miss there not so long ago. Hi, Greg. I wonder if it's possible to address the issue of speed in shopping car parks. Over the last few weeks, I've had my small grandchildren with me, and I've lost count of the number of near misses we have witnessed. Kids jump out of cars and make a run for the shop doors. Drivers are distracted on phones or talking to others in the car. I appreciate some shopping areas have ramps, but I think there needs to be an active campaign to get more shopping areas to introduce similar, if not more, measures. Is that something that you've found in and around the shopping centres around the region? People, drivers driving too quick, not paying attention? 086 60 25000. I have come across it myself, for sure. There's no doubt about that. And it only takes one mistake and someone is very seriously injured or indeed worse. Why are prices not reducing in shops who are switching off, switching to self-service checkouts and robotic servers? They're not paying the same level of staff, so why are they still charging high prices? I'm not really sure they're cost-saving measures because they probably employ the same amount of staff. I'm not sure of the ins and outs of it. Hi, Greg. I hope you're keeping well. I just wanted to draw your attention to something, and I know it's been discussed in the past, but seems to be still a problem. I rang looking for an appointment with my GP. Nothing urgent. I need a review of medication and results of a scan. Usually you might need to wait a week or so, which is fine. I was told today that the first appointment would be the 11th of August. So I said, okay, well, I'll just see way of the other docs in the practice then. I'll see one of them. But apparently the 11th of August is the first available doctor's appointment. And if I wanted to see my own GP, it would be August 15th. Needless to say, I was completely shocked at this, so much so that I just said okay and hung up. Now, I know people say, well, with all the extra people living here, appointments are hard to get. However, I have been to the doctors probably about five times so far this year, and no matter when you go in there, might, if you're lucky, be one other person in the waiting room. Pre-COVID, there would have been at least 10. I'm absolutely shocked and disgusted at the lack of service being offered, and unless it is an emergency, you now have to wait a considerable time for an appointment. Now, that came in originally on the... That's been sitting around for quite some time. That's a couple of weeks old, actually. So their appointment, yeah, sorry about that. Their appointment was over, the first appointment they were given was over a month away. My bad. We must have overseen that or overlooked it. So hopefully you got seen. Maybe you can give us an update. I'm not going to read your name, of course, because you wanted, as understandably, you wanted that kept private. But did you get sorted? Because as I say, this email's 2 weeks old. So it was a month out that they were told the next available appointment might be. Right, okay. It is the 9 till noon show coming up after 10. Much more to keep you informed and entertained. Stay right where you are. News and obituaries just around the corner.